Welcome to Fit and Chips Chats. This is a podcast for women over 40 who are looking for sane and frank advice about their health and wellness, especially through menopause. I'm Amanda Thebe, the original resilient bitch and menopause guru. In my work as a personal trainer and nutrition coach, and through my own personal experience, it became obvious to me information about menopause and this curious phase of our life was so ridiculously hard to find. And that's why I started this podcast. Join me every week as I speak to health and wellness experts on hot topics that directly impact you. I've made it my mission to help you by exploding a few myths, presenting you with the facts, and hoping to inspire you to be a healthy, strong person just like me. If you like this show, please subscribe and leave a review. Then go and tell your friends, and then go and tell your husband, and then tell the neighbor, and then don't forget to visit me at fitandchips.com. And now let's get started on today's show. Erin uses her experience as a holistic nutritionist and strength and conditioning coach in conjunction with her personal struggles. Karen was a competitive figure skater at national level, skating for Canada. And during her own life, had to overcome a lot of personal struggles, starting at about the age of 12, where she had to overcome binge eating. That in conjunction with body image challenges, self-sabotaging, and then this perfectionist mindset, she has now moved through life and she's found a way to overcome all of these feelings without becoming obsessed, and now uses that to help women in her coaching. It's a really great conversation. I hope you enjoy it. Hello, everybody. On the show today, I'm chatting with Karen Gallagher, all the way from Toronto. Welcome, Karen. I'm so happy to have you on here.
Oh, thank you, Amanda. It's so great to be on here. I'm really, really looking forward to talking to you today.
A fellow Torontonian, and I class myself as a Torontonian, even though obviously I've got an English accent. I lived there for long enough and I'm a Canadian. I did my citizenship test, so I am a Canadian, so that counts. And one of my kids was born there, so these are all like ticks in the box for me.
It's a great place to be, Canada. I love it up here, except for the winters. The winters are a little harsh.
And that's when it's awesome for me to be in Houston, because it's just glorious weather here right now. So
yeah. You're lucky.
So Karen's a bit long in the tooth as well when it comes to fitness. She's been doing it for about 20 years as well. I mean, I think that for me, where I am now in the fitness industry compared to where I was 20 years, it's just like a whole different industry. And I think you've found that as well, haven't you, Karen, just where the journey that you've traveled along. And what are the biggest sort of like changes you've seen?
Oh, gosh. There's been so many changes, right? There's been, when I first started out, I worked at Bally Total Fitness. That was many, many moons ago, 18, 20 years ago. And, I started out in sales, and then I decided after about a year doing sales, I really wanted to get into the one-on-one personal training because I just wanted to help people more. I wanted to, be able to make an impact in their lives. And at that time, I think there was about 10 trainers on the team, and I was the only female at the time. So it was great for me because all the women wanted to come to me and train. So, back then, it was rare that you'd see female trainers, and now you see more and more, obviously. And I think just the style, or just the approach, with training and women, I guess their mind around the training aspect about weightlifting has really shifted in the past 15, 20 years. Years ago, women were really scared to lift weights. They were scared to get into the gym. They were very intimidated. And, now it's something where women are less intimidated. They want to sculpt that lean, body and build their body to feel fit and confident. And, when I first started out, it wasn't like that. It was very, very intimidating and very scary for a lot of women to set foot in a gym. So,
yeah, I mean, I think the first gym I ever set foot in, and I was like 16 at the time, was a Gold's Gym. And it was like one of the guys that owned the gym was an ex-bodybuilder. He'd worked with Tom Platz. I don't even know if you know who he is, but he's the guy with the biggest
quads in the world, like
yes,
in 1986 when I was there. And you know, I just assumed that all gyms looked like that, and I didn't feel scared because I'd done martial arts, and I was always hanging around like boys. They were like always my friends, not hanging around boys that way. I was a good girl, but like you know, just in that masculine environment, and it was fine for me. But you know, I would always have my friends sort of like saying, "I don't know how you can like be around like all of that, those muscles and stuff, and it's so gross, and don't you want, you'll get big and bulky." But on the other side of it, I was still doing the aerobics and kicking my legs in the air like Jane Fonda, all of those things. But even so, the big shift that I've seen in the industry is more about women just expanding their outlook on being healthy rather than just it being exercise. And I think that personal trainers have become more than just someone who teaches them how to do an exercise right. And I think that you sort of like fit that role as well. And I think that's the difference from you working in Bally's on a big box gym to working in a different role as a personal trainer to now having your own private gym, because now you end up being people's almost their life coach, right? Because you're looking at like their state of mind, their emotional health, their physical health, their sleep patterns, their nutrition. We've, as trainers, just become this bigger, it's become a bigger role for us. But I find it very welcoming because I feel as though as a trainer, you can teach anyone to do an exercise well, and you can teach anyone to lose weight if they follow the advice you give them. Mm-hmm. But none of it works unless you dig deep into the emotional side of it, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And I know that's one of your go-to things, isn't it? Like talking about obstacles and struggles and how you can overcome them. Because is it something you've experienced yourself?
Yeah, many times throughout my life. I'm in my 40s now, so I've gone through many struggles, and that's a thing. You know, a lot of people look up to us, you know, as trainers and, you know, women in the industry who inspire, and, you know, they think that we have it all together and that we're perfect and, you know, it must be easy for us. And, you know, I've been through, oh gosh, many, many struggles over the years. And, you know, if it wasn't for those struggles, I wouldn't be where I am today helping women the way I help them. And it's, you're so right. You know, you hit the nail on the head there. It's not, there's so much more than just, you know, learning how to move the body and to lift a weight, or to eat properly. It goes much deeper than that. And, for me, gosh, I started with struggles back, when I was a competitive figure skater. I used to be a competitive figure skater. I had my...
Of course, you're Canadian. Yeah, it's like all Canadians are born with ice. It's like when they say, oh no, I don't skate very well and I don't speak French. And then they're fluent in French and they speed skate everywhere. I hate them all. Anyway, moving on swiftly. So you were a competitive skater. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I was a competitive figure skater and, you know, I love the sport, absolutely love the sport. I did it for probably about 15 years and, competed at the Canadian level, skated at some of the top, skating schools in Canada. And, it was back then when I started really struggling with, you know, my challenges with my body and, you know, the perfectionist mindset and numbing myself out with food and, you know, yo-yo binge dieting. That's when it all kind of started for me. I was about 12 years old. So, you know, a lot of women, you know, don't experience this till later in life, you know, and I was experiencing it at a very young age. So
do you think that might have been just a byproduct of the sport you were in, because you know you don't have to wear, you don't wear many clothes on the ice,
yeah.
You know, your body's on display. Do you find that it might just be something to do with that?
It was part of it, yes, definitely for sure, because we had to obviously have this, we had this pressure to be athletic, but yet we had to have that look of a ballerina, right? You had to be lean and long, but yet strong and muscular. And you know, it actually wasn't until our head coach, when I was skating away from home, I used to go away for about 8 weeks out in the summertime, and the head coach had told me that my body fat was too high. And I believe I was about 12 or 13 at the time, and my body fat was at 12% body fat. So for many women, that's extremely low. Average is obviously between 20-24%, right? For a healthy range. And you know, I was sitting at 12%, we had to be below 10%. And so from that point, that's kind of when my mind shifted in terms of, you know, how I looked at myself and how I, you know, my relationship with my body and with food. And that's when I kind of started, you know, the yo-yo dieting, whenever we had weigh-ins, I would really, you know, I barely eat anything all day until I got weighed in. And then after that, obviously binge eat. And that's kind of where that started.
Oh my goodness. And I mean, I wonder whether looking back that these people realize how destructive these conversations can be. I mean, I know of a ballet coach in Toronto that said something similar to one of my friend's kids. You know, she's looking at, like, her legs look like soccer players' legs. That's not the look we want. And I was furious, like, and I just thought, that shit still happening? Are you kidding me? This is like destructive for a young girl. And you're 12 years old, so you may not have started your period. You're probably going to cause amenorrhea by, like, starving yourself and not being able to have a period. So many bad, oh my goodness, that made me shiver when you said that. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? I was a very, I'm still this way, very kind of carefree person. So it affected me, you know, for a few years. And, you know, now looking back, I kind of see, you know, where I did struggle a little bit. And then obviously when I went off to university, I stopped figure skating. And that was when I kind of hit my highest weight at that time. I probably gained about 40 pounds on my frame. So, you know, and that's may not be a lot to a lot of people, but to, you know, an athlete, a competitive athlete who's, you know, lean for most of the season, and then they gain 30-40 pounds on their frame, it's a lot, right?
And yeah, but your body needed something, didn't it? Your body was crying out for some fat, and then it's just losing the control after that, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing, is the body shaming. And then, you know, I got into a depressed point in my life, and you know, then I really started kind of using food as a way to kind of compress feelings and to, you know, as a form of control. So that was for about a year or two of my life, and then after that, I got back into the gym. I started training again. I was coaching figure skating. I got my you know, aerobics instructor certification.
Me too.
Yeah. And so I didn't go far with it because I wasn't that coordinated, believe it or not, at being a figure skater.
And do you remember when you did the aerobics? Because I mean, that was actually a certification. It was on the aerobics teacher. You had to go away and you had to choreograph your whole like routine. So I remember going to this class and I never felt like I fit in because I was never the girly girl, and these were all girly girls I'm not minimizing your story about binge eating. It just all of a sudden this came into my head. And so I turn up with my music and I do this really awesome routine to the Prodigy Firestarter. And at the end of it, the woman was horrified. She said, "You clearly have a gift for exercise, but you clearly don't have a gift for music taste." That was horrendous. My ears hurt. Oh, okay. Maybe I won't be an aerobics teacher.
And that whole piece, I was not good at. That's when I got into the personal training. But it just, you know, I kind of threw out the whole mentality of weighing myself and the body fat percentage. And I shifted that mindset to more about how I felt and the foods that I put in my body. And
did that happen quickly? Because it's not most people that go through that, you know, the weight gain through the body shaming or, you know, the compensating food for emotions and everything, that can often be a lengthy process as well, right? I mean, I know there's the people that can do the on-off switch, but in most of the experience that you've had with clients, have you found that that's something that the people sort of like have to take time and time to do, and it doesn't just happen? I don't know. I'm just curious about that, because normally for me, when I've worked with people, that's the thing that you've got to keep coming back to all the time, like to stop obsessing over that number on the scale and losing that like diet mentality. And
yeah, absolutely. And yeah, it's definitely something that I work with, you know, and have a challenge with people. It's not something that happens overnight. It's just, you're shifting your complete mindset towards how you approach your fitness and your lifestyle goals, right? And, you know, some of the women, most women that I've been working with, it's been on average 2 or 3 years. Some women I've been working with for 10 years. And now I'm not saying it's going to take you 10 years to get to where you want, but it's more for accountability reasons for them too, right? Because it's so easy to shift back into that old mindset because you feel comfortable there, right? There's no fear and you feel like that's what you know, where you feel the most comfortable. And a lot of times I feel that some women have this fear of wanting to step into that healthy lifestyle and being fitter and, you know, losing that weight and feeling better about themselves. I think there's a little bit of fear around that as well too.
Well, I often think it's a fear of failure, right? Because they don't think they can do it. And it's, and I know I've had this and these type of conversations many times with like-minded coaches. And I remember one of them, my favorite one is Annie Breeze. And she turned around and said, you know, it's really hard for me to sell the way I train people because I can hardly say, come to me and you lose 5 pounds in the next 6 months. Because that just doesn't sound very good. But the fact is, it's not about losing the weight. That's normally a byproduct of all of the other
absolutely
and all of the other intensive like mindset shifting and reevaluation and self-love that you have to then, you know, like check in with every day. Because I mean, it's so easy to be down on yourself and hard on yourself. We beat ourselves up like crazy, and it really is so unhealthy for us. And our ultimate goal should be as healthy as we can be, body, mind, soul. Mm-hmm, you know, that's what our job as a coach is, to get people to feel like, if in the meantime they end up losing weight, then that's mm-hmm. fine. But mm-hmm. I'll never post a picture of a before or after of my client, because usually it's just one of them's got a big smile on the face and the other one's miserable.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. Yeah. And I think it's a journey. Like I said, it's been a journey for me, and I've had my, you know, my downfalls. And, you know, after university, I had about 10 years where things were great, and then it crept up again. Right. So it's so easy for it to come back in and you know, kind of take control of your life. Right. So
I'm actually curious as well, because I know that you did, competing, like a figure competitor. Mm-hmm. And I just know from experience and speaking to people, you know, on the podcast, Deanna Harder was one of them, that left a big scar on her emotionally and also with her view on food, because to get to the place that she was in the figure competitive world, she had to basically go through like real control issues with her food and a little bit of starvation, get her body fat back down again. So was that like revisiting some of your previous experiences in your mind, or was it a positive? Did you actually make that a positive experience for yourself?
You know, it was a bit of both, to be honest with you. I competed for about 10 years and...
Oh, that's long term then.
It was a long time. And I had my pro status with a couple of different organizations. I even competed at the Arnold Classic. There was 100 bikini girls. I came top 15. So, you know, that was my very last show. And that was when I realized that, you know, what am I doing this? You know, why am I doing this? And, you know, originally I got into it because I wanted to replace my competitive platform, you know, that I had with figure skating with something different, right? And I thought, this is great. You know, you're in the gym, you're eating healthy, you have that nice athletic look, it's still feminine. So that's what drew me to competing in fitness. And you know, it was years and years of that. And yeah, it takes a toll on your body. You know, it's one of the only sports where you're training for 3 or 4 hours a day, but yet you have to control every morsel of food that goes into your body, right? And it's not realistically long-term. It's not healthy at all. So, and of course, in your off season, you do naturally gain that weight back. I was pretty fortunate that I would only gain maybe 5-7 pounds. A lot of that was just water weight. So I kept fairly lean year round. However, it was the, you know, like you said, it's the, that body shaming and the self-sabotaging behaviors afterwards, right? Where you get kind of back into that yo-yo binge dieting patterns because you want to control your body, you want to look a certain way because you saw yourself on stage and you feel like you should look like that all the time, right? So it's so easy to get wrapped up into it.
Yeah. And so, and also you want to make sure as well that you stay completely, well, it was a learning experience for you as well, right? So then you can stay completely true to, you know, the message that you send in your clients as well and the women that follow you. And I think that, you know, it's really good to use our past experiences as part of our coaching. Mm-hmm, I think you learn so much more from those than you do from reading in a book, you know, like having all of the qualifications behind you.
Yeah, and, definitely.
So if somebody sort of comes to you, I mean, usually what are the type of things that you focus on? I mean, I know you're going to give them a workout and you're going to coach them as well, but you know, what other things do you focus on to give women like healthier, happier lives? What's the type of strategies you use?
Well, basically, like you said, I mean, anybody can go and Google, you know, a healthy meal plan or a fitness training workout, right? So that's kind of the easy part. It's mainly, you know, I train people through three main pillars, which is your body fitness, which is your movement, nourishment, nutrition, and spirituality and mindset. And I find that when a woman comes to me, it's never just about, you know, losing that 10, 15, 20 pounds that they want to lose, right? They all want to, you know, obviously feel confident, you know, become more fit and, you know, develop a little bit more muscle tone and feel more confident. However, it goes much deeper than that. And usually a lot of the times when women come to me, they're going through a type of transformation from within, like something much greater than just losing that weight. And a lot of the time it's redefining who they are as a person. Whether that may be, you know, some of them could be going through a separation in their life. Some of them could be going through some major challenges. Maybe they lost a loved one. Maybe they just want to, you know, the kids are out of the house and they just want to have that time to themselves where they, you know, give back to themselves. So we, you know, there's many reasons why they come to me. And so those are the three ways that I work with people, both, you know, in my studio here in Toronto and then as well online. And
it's really interesting you're talking like this because I'm assuming you attract like women about the same age. And you know, I'm nearly 50 now. And so clearly the work I do is geared towards women in this age group, and they'll be going through the menopause transition and all of those things that you have mentioned, you know, like the changes or the challenges that are happening to them at this time of their lives. They're in the squeeze generation, you know, they're feeling maybe their career is not on the path they want it to be. You know, there's numerous reasons out there, mm-hmm. but then the coping skills that they're then dealt with by menopause, because that lessens their ability to cope and their levels of confidence. Mm-hmm. means that it can be a really hard time in their life. And women, I think that having that accountability from a coach is a perfect way to sort of support yourself through that transition. Because it's more like a transformation, I think. And I don't want to sound like woo-woo and all, mm-hmm. you know, like butterfly and glittery and Gwyneth Paltrow-ish. But like, but as far as I'm concerned, like, you know, once you get over like the hump of the worst of the crap that gets thrown at you, you know, the other side's a pretty good place to be. In fact, to me, mm-hmm. it was a better place. But if you've got some of your ducks all lined up in a row, you know, so you've got, you know, you've got a handle on your food and your movement with the accountability of your coach, and then you're looking at this mind, body, soul connection by, you know, addressing things in your life that you can maybe focus on more or lose some of the fluff that you don't need. Like mm-hmm. if you go in through this stage of your life having all of those things sort of like knitted together in a package, it can be a life changer. Because, you know, we know that women who are in that sort of like physical, emotional state actually experience menopause so much easier than those mm-hmm. that don't. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, you're probably finding that that's happening to you, is it now? You're getting some menopausing women in or some hormonal women in.
No, for sure. Yeah, because I'm at that stage too. I'm 44 and, you know, it's interesting. I was talking to a client the other day and we're talking about all the different people. She wanted to know the youngest person that I worked with. And I have a couple of girls in their, I say girls, ladies in their early 30s. And, you know, and I think that's mainly because they're struggling with some body image challenges. But most of the women are in their 40s and 50s that I train and I work with. And many of them, you know, as I mentioned, it is a little bit about the weight, but it's more about transforming their lives and about feeling, you know, that confidence and feeling happy and healthy in all areas of their life, right? And, you know, and I truly believe it all starts with feeling better about yourself. You know, accepting yourself for your strengths, your weaknesses, and, you know, taking time for yourself. You know, so many women are playing all these different roles as a career person, a wife, a mother, a friend, and they don't take that time you know, for quiet reflection and for themselves, you know?
Yeah, so, I know that you like to do that, don't you? I was laughing when you were saying you like to take your Epsom salt bath and your face mask. You like, I even have like my laptop set up and I have like maybe a TV show playing in the background and I'll read a book and I'll have a glass of wine. I'm like full works. And you know what? I have no problem doing that. I leave everyone to their own devices and just get on with it. I love it.
Yeah. And so many, it surprises me the amount of women that don't do more of that stuff. There's a lot of guilt around that, you know?
Yeah,
so, you know, it's one thing that I help them kind of come back to. And at the end of the day, you know, sometimes they, you know, I hate to say this, they say if a woman wants to lose 10 pounds and she only loses 5 of those 10 pounds, she's much happier, you know? And as you said, sometimes taking those before and afters, it's about the smile and the confidence that you see and the energy that that person is giving out compared to where they were, you know, say 3 or 6 months ago, right? And that's what really is rewarding.
Oh, it's so rewarding, especially when you get pulled by women that you've changed their lives. And when I get those emails, I'm like, okay, this is good. This feels really good. And, and you know, what I often find is, you know, women will come to me and say, you know, one of my goals is to lose some weight, you know, amongst other things, I want to get strong. And then as we talk over time, and I always come back to all of their original sort of like goals or desires or, you know, outlook. And that's usually the one that goes first of all, because what tends to happen, just like I say, is a knock-on effect of everything else being in place, having, you know, a little some happiness, some joy in forging good relationships and accountability, that tends to happen, you know, as an aside, that, you know, any sort of like excess sludge that you're carrying can just disappear. And then another thing I think is really important to women as they sort of do get older is understanding, you know, that the way our body shape will change through our hormonal makeup shifting, and that sometimes, you know, shape change, I think we become the original like shapeshifters. That can be as hard to deal with as, you know, looking at numbers on the scale. So even just getting women comfortable in their new shape that they're in can be challenging. So I think it's a complex time for a woman, but I also think it's a time for them to really like really understand themselves and like cue in and sort of get more comfortable with where they are, don't you think?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And I know for myself over the years, you know, I really struggled with that. I'd say more in my 20s and 30s about, you know, not looking or having my body, you know, look or feel a certain way, right? Compared to, you know, 10, 15 years ago. But now, you know, I'm stepping more into that. I feel, you know, it's for me, it's not about the weight, it's about how I feel and how my body performs and, you know, how my skin looks, you know, and my stress levels and, you know, how I sleep at night. Like that's way, way more important to me than what society thinks I should look like or what weight I should be at or what size I should be at. You know, and that's something that I try to teach my clients, that as we get older, you know, there's going to be some shifts in our bodies, and it's just embracing that, you know, that piece.
And then clearly you've experienced that yourself. And so that's sort of like, it just totally makes sense when you've been through something like that, right? When they come to you, you're like, yep, I get it. I totally get it. Like that's me. Yeah, that is actually me. And with work and with like just chip, I always say it's like picking a little scab, and it's so satisfying when it comes off.
Exactly. Yeah. It just feels like a weight being lifted off your shoulders. For sure.
Well, listen, I just want to say thanks so much for coming on the show. Like, it's just been so great to have you on and just to hear your story, Karen. And I think that, you know, as long as we keep saying the message out there, you know, that, you know, it's okay to like see change happening. We're going to give you the tools to help you embrace it and improve if you need to, and give you some mindset shifts and some nutritional coaching and some fitness coaching. But just like being really present right now, I think is a really cool message that you're sending to women. And I love that. So
thank you so much.
And so thank you for coming on. And where can people find you? What's your website, Karen?
My website is karen-gallagher.com. So you can find me on there. I hang out a lot on Instagram. My handle there is at Karen Riedel Gallagher, and Facebook as well, Karen Gallagher.
And that's awesome. I'll stick that in the description as well, guys, so you can check Karen out. But thank you so much for coming on the show. That was awesome. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. Thank you for having me, Amanda.
Okay. Take care. Bye for now.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the show. For more information on my services, head over to my website at fitandchips.com. That's like fish and chips, FITNCHIPS.com. Or you can head over to my Fit and Chips Facebook page too. If you leave me a comment or if you contact me, I promise I'll do my best to respond to all of your questions. The views and advice expressed by myself in this show are not a substitute for conventional medical service. No information here should be interpreted as a medical diagnosis, treatment, or prevention of any disease. If in any doubt, always go straight to your doctor. Take care. Love you. Bye.